Now it's showtime.
Well, welcome to another episode of Learning to Lead. This is Trevor DeVage, your host, and I'm really excited today because I am sitting in the room for this episode of Learning to Lead with arguably one of my favorite leaders that I've ever had the opportunity to be around, do life with, and I'm so thankful that he would take some time. He happens to be in town visiting a mutual friend of ours. In fact, someone that you've heard on an earlier podcast, my friend Mark Taylor. But today with me sitting in my office right now, sitting here with a microphone looking right at me is, man, he's grown churches, he has grown ministries, but more importantly, he's grown leaders over the course of decades. And man, I got Leroy Lawson with me on the podcast today. Leroy, thanks for being here, man. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm glad to be here, Trevor.
Yeah, and you've been talked about on other episodes of this podcast.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, the guy that followed you at Central Christian Church, a guy by the name of Cal Jernigan, he was the very first episode of this podcast. And when we started talking about leadership, success and failure, he talked about one of the scariest things was taking over after you, and but how you'd set it up so well for him to succeed in doing ministry at Central. And of course, Central now today is just like it was when you were there. It is one of the forefront churches in the country doing things that are unbelievable, now getting ready, I think, go to 7 campuses across the Phoenix area.
I know for sure 5.
And so they're talking even more about that kind of stuff. And so, Roy, just thanks for being here. Tell me a little bit about just your history, your journey of ministry life. I know you're married, you got kids, and man, you've been all over.
Got kids, got grandkids, got great grandkids. I even have one borrowing a great great grandkid.
So, wow.
So that's kind of fun. Well, my journey started really very young. While I was still in Bible college, at the age of 21, I planted a church out in Portland, Oregon, which is still going. I'm kind of proud about that. But I've been schizophrenic throughout my career. I've been a preacher and a teacher, and sometimes both at the same time. And just finished this week an interim ministry. Finally, at long last, a prayer was answered. I was called to Hawaii.
Wow.
So we just spent 5 months in Honolulu in one of the most rewarding ministries I've ever had.
Well, someone has to suffer for the gospel.
Well, I felt I was doing that. Yeah. So I started at 21. I'm now 80 and having the time of my life.
Well, 80. I mean, and all joking aside, I would have not have guessed 80 because I feel like you run circles around guys like me.
well, you don't see me at home when I'm gasping and panting.
So, I mean, that's 40 plus years of ministry.
I was ordained in 1959.
Wow.
So that'll be 60 years, I think, next year.
So I know you and I could probably sit, and we probably could have this afternoon sat for hours and just talked life and laughed. And you have the same spiritual gift I do, which is sarcasm and quick wit. And so I love,
never thought of that as a spiritual gift. I've been trying to overcome it for all these years.
Yeah, I finally leaned into it and just made it biblical. But I really, every time we gather, what I love is there's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of talk of just ministry. We just stood in the hallway in our office and talked about trips to India and the similar experiences, that both of which were probably 30 years apart from each other.
Probably.
There's so much leadership wisdom that you bring to the table, Roy. And I know there's countless conversations I've had with guys that, oh man, I've hung out with Roy and he makes me feel like I'm the only person he hangs out with. And I everybody I talk to, you make feel that way. But I got 3 questions we ask on this podcast.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with arguably what I think is, for some guys, is the hardest, but is the one that they can talk about the most, because we're all pretty good at talking about this one. But what would you see as your greatest leadership failure over 40 plus years of ministry?
Well, I've got lots of failure to talk about, but in terms of leadership, I left 2 jobs unfinished, and I felt bad about that. At Central Christian Church in Mesa, where I served 20 years, we were, when we went there, I was telling my wife, you know, if we come here, the good thing is I won't have to be in a building program. And starting the very next year, we were talking building, and I was in a building program the whole time. Unable to finish it. That concerned me. I walked away. My dad always taught me, if it's worth starting, it's worth finishing. But I couldn't finish that building project. And in terms of leadership, I would put that at the top. I did a similar thing when I was president at Hope International University. I couldn't finish the dreams that I had, the vision that I felt that God had given. So in both of those instances, I walked away thinking, I should have finished. I didn't finish. But I could put a positive spin on those two instances, I think. My dad did say, if it's worth starting, it's worth finishing. I've kind of amended that, because I now think it's really a good thing to take on a job so big that you can't finish it.
Well, and the people that have come after you have been able to build upon the foundation.
Yes.
And I'm watching Cal now, who, and I can say this because he's not in the room, but he's probably on the backside of ministry, not the front side. And Cal is going to be leaving something that he's built off the foundation of, but it won't be finished. And somebody else will build off of that. And I'm in a very similar situation. There was a whole slew of people that came before me here, Tom Mall being the most recent, and they've all built unbelievable things. And we're in the process now of trying to build the next piece of this foundation that has been all the leaders before us. And so in some regards, that kind of failure is the best kind of failure for guys coming behind, because it leaves more for us to do, you know?
Well, I agree with that. And in fact, I want to anticipate the next question you're going to ask me.
Yeah.
Which is,
what is your greatest leadership success?
And we've already talked about it, in that as I look back over my career, I think the two things that I can say I did right are, I did right in helping create a situation in which my successors could succeed.
Yeah.
And so I think it's fair to say that my greatest success, frankly, came after I left both jobs, both as a senior pastor at Central Christian and as the president at Hope International. Both institutions are much stronger, much better, and very well led. They've gone beyond what I could do, and I'm so proud of Cal Jernigan. I can say that because he's not in the room. And when we're together, it would embarrass him if I complimented him like this. But what a job he has done. I left that church when it was running about 4,500. I think the attendance now is between 9,000 and 10,000.
Yeah, in fact, they precipiced over the 10,000 mark a couple years ago. And man, they just aren't looking back.
No, they're not. And I know, I mentioned it just a moment ago, I know they're on five campuses, because I've been on all five of those.
Yes.
Now you're mentioning seven, and they may have gone beyond five now. So I take great pride in the work that Cal has done. And I take some pride in the fact that I was smart enough to hire him in the first place. We worked together for 13 years, and he was the obvious choice. The elders and I agreed he was the guy. Well, he's justified our believing in him. Similarly, over at Hope International University, you know John Derry, of course.
I do.
And now I couldn't pave the way for him the way that I tried to do for Cal, in that, we were in conversation because I wanted to hire him as executive vice president while I was president. I felt we would have been a dynamite combination, because he's strong in all the places that I'm weak. And if he could have brought his skills and joined with me, well, frankly, if he'd have come, I'd probably still be president. It would have just been so much fun. But I couldn't hire him. I couldn't find the money to hire him. So I did the next best thing, and that is, after I resigned, I made sure that the search committee knew about John Derry, and they were smart enough to call him. I just was on that campus 2 or 3 weeks ago for their big banquet, walked around. The campus has never looked better. And there again, the school that I left, I think it was running about 1,200. I know it's somewhere over 2,000 now, with a number of new programs. So again, in both of those instances, my best success came after I left.
Well, and I think, talking about Cal, and of course, I'm in a mentor group with Cal now, and what I think is brilliant in that success, Roy, is Cal would tell you that it wasn't even on his radar. He didn't see it coming.
It was so much fun surprising him.
Yeah. But I think the success in that is that you were able to see something in a young leader that he didn't even see in himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that would have been the case with John, but I do know that was the case with Cal. And I think myself included, there's been words of encouragement, text messages or phone calls in my first couple of years here after we became friends that probably unknowing to you is just who you are. But for a young guy like myself, or when Cal was, he was semi-young when he took over. He did youth ministry until he was about 70. But the reality is that you saw something and continue to see stuff in young guys that maybe they don't even see in themselves. And as a young guy in ministry, man, because this thing's not easy. Like, leading a church is not for the faint of heart.
Do you know what Cal scolds me most for? And I guess I'd like to say this to the young guys listening here. When he took over, he was complimentary on a number of fronts, but he scolded me. He said, "You didn't prepare me for my mail." Well, and I hadn't. The truth is, and you know this, we just get mail.
Yes.
And we get it so often, and it's often so bad. It's just as part of the job. And I honestly had forgotten about it.
Well, and it's hard as a young leader to not let that callous you from.
Exactly.
And Drew Sherman gave me one of the best pieces of advice. He said, you got to have the skin of a rhino and the heart of a dove.
That's good.
And I'm glad I don't have the heart of a rhino and the skin of a dove.
You'd be in trouble.
And so, Roy, I just think that the impact, and we were talking about this right before we started recording, but just the impact I know that you've had on my life before we ever met. And I think that's the mark of good leadership, is that when you're impacting people and you don't know it, I think that's really good leadership. Which would lead me to kind of the last question that I always ask on this podcast, at least from the questions that we do ask in form. And it's just simply this: what is your greatest piece of leadership advice for young leaders?
Well, I made myself a note. I get asked that question really too much. I think the two things that I would say, and I said too much not because I'm offended that I was asked, not at all. I think it's the right question to ask. Too much because I'm never quite sure.
Yeah.
You know, but two things have helped me over the years, and I will pass them both on. Not original with me at all. One was, be more than you seem. I can't remember who told me that, but I thought about that for most of my life, because we live in an era now where we're all encouraged to be self-promoters. And if we're not careful, what we become is simply the projection of an image we want out there. I've always found it's a lot of fun to let people discover there are aspects of me that they don't know, just as I want to discover them, those same aspects in them. So to work more on your substance than on your image, I would say, be more than you seem. The other one that I would say is, you can accomplish a whole lot more over the long haul than you can in the short term. Most of us, when we're younger, are in a hurry. And so everything is kind of a crisis. I've got to solve this, got to get on to the next thing. And you push and you strive and you're stressed out much of the time. And you become so terribly self-judgmental. You know, I didn't measure up here, I failed there. Okay. If you think in terms of the long haul, and that means, of course, you're committed to stay. And you're committed to stay through some very tough times, then exponentially, you will be more effective toward the end than you are at the beginning. I remember counseling one young man who came in. He was working for me, and he'd only been with me a couple of years, and he was wanting to resign and go on. Ordinarily, when somebody resigns to me, I say, that's fine. You know, Lord bless you. This guy I knew was on the wrong trajectory. And if I let him go now, and if he followed through, he would have a career of 2-year assignments. You can't accomplish anything. So the piece of advice, think more about the long haul than the short term.
Yeah. Well, and that's what, when we made the move here, my family and I, because of guys like yourself and Bob Russell and Don Wilson and these guys that have been in the long haul, I told my wife when we moved here, I said, I don't want to move again.
Yeah. Like, good for you.
And I've watched a lot of friends in youth ministry when I was doing youth ministry that we were all at the megachurch conference every year, but they were all at different churches, all the same guys, just at different churches. And I always thought, how do you ever build any kind of community? I mean, there's a number of completion in scripture that's seven. I'm like, at least 7 years. Let's give at least seven and see what this does. And so I mean, that's that piece of advice for me is huge, because there's days where I want to quit. There's days where I want to throw in the towel.
Trevor, when I was young, I resigned every Monday. And I knew I was maturing when it was just once a month.
Yeah. Well, I tell our staff, don't make any major decisions, life decisions on Monday, because you'll make horrible decisions on Monday, and then you have to be rehired on Tuesday.
I don't know how you feel about your preaching, but honestly, I'm not even exaggerating. I would leave in those days. I left the pulpit just feeling defeated. Week after week after week, I just hadn't produced. And would beat myself up on Monday and ask the Lord's forgiveness and then try again. So I think for most of us who take preaching seriously, yeah, we pour into a sermon everything we've got. Yeah. And then on Monday, there's nothing there.
Well, I call it like a birthing process, because there's a conception of idea. There's this whole growing, what God is growing inside of you. And then when you birth that thing, man, you're tired afterwards.
You're tired.
And man, I don't know about you, but I find myself, I'm a little more testy than I normally would be. I'm a little more on edge when I come off the stage.
And if that's all you are, you're a much better man than I am. I used to tell my family, my poor long-suffering family, after church on Sunday, please don't talk to me for 30 minutes. If you'll give me 30 minutes, maybe I can be a human being again.
You're way better than me, because I need at least a two-hour nap.
Oh, this was before the nap.
Yeah. But Roy, is there any resources that you have right now that you would just say, man, if you're leading something anywhere, here's a resource that you ought to pick up. Here's a book you ought to read. Here's a podcast you ought to listen to. Here's a video you ought to watch. A preacher you ought to listen to. Is there any resources that you would give a young leader right now that you'd say, you got to have this in your hands?
A couple of things I would say. One book, and it's now been out quite some time, and it's not a Christian book. It's a wonderful book. I think one of my favorite books on leadership. It's a movie's been made about it. It's Doris Kearns Goodwin's book, A Team of Rivals.
Oh, yeah.
About Abraham Lincoln.
Yes.
And you might remember that he had a cabinet full of his former competitors for the presidency, all of whom were convinced they were more qualified to be president than he was. He somehow molded that group into a winning team. I don't know better advice than that. What we tend to do in leadership is we tend to shun or exclude those that we feel are in opposition to us. He embraced them, and the rest is history. Just that one book. Another one, though, that I want to mention, and you will laugh, because it's so predictable. I recommend the Bible.
Yeah.
And I recommend the Bible for a number of reasons. And well, here's the big one. It is counterintuitive for our culture. It talks about serving rather than leading. Now, we talk about leading all the time. Bible doesn't. It talks about serving. It talks about character and not image. About the priority of persons and not programs, about eternal values and not temporary or temporal advantage. It's the best corrective I know to the toxicity of our culture. Much of that toxicity we preachers, I'm afraid, carry into our church culture to the detriment of the church. So, from this preacher to rising leaders, don't forget about the Bible.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, Roy, thanks for taking some time. I know there's going to be countless leaders that are going to listen to this, that are going to, man, they're just going to probably hang on every ounce of what you're giving here.
I doubt that, but thank you. It's very flattering.
Well, I'm not good at blowing smoke, so but I really mean that. I mean, there's so many people that the legacy, I hope that when I'm 40 plus years into ministry, and you're not slowing down, you just finished an interim pastor.
Yeah, I did. It was fun.
In Hawaii, and you're traveling the world with your bride. I hope that this the same way you're living right now, is that as long as you have breath, you're going to keep proclaiming the gospel. And I don't want to slow down. I want to slow down, but not slow down on the gospel, because Jude 23 is a verse we use a lot around here, snatching others from the flames of judgment. And I got a feeling the flames are just going to keep getting hotter as time progresses. And so one of the things I've appreciated is that I'm watching you not slow down with the gospel, but actually ramping up to, you know, I hope at the end of my life, I'm going out in style. And just going off the ramp and bringing more people with me. And I feel like that's the example that you have given, more so than probably any other leader I've watched at this stage of life and ministry. And so, man, thank you for just being, one, kind enough to come sit in my office and have a conversation with a young guy that has no clue what he's doing, and for helping a whole bunch of leaders that are going to hear this podcast be better.
Would you let me say one more thing about that? The truth of the matter is, you know so much more than I know about what you know. I mean, we were talking a little bit earlier. Before we came on the air, we were talking about the media and technology today. I'm, in that regard, I'm a Neanderthal, and I need to hear from you guys as much as you need to hear from me. So thank you for what you're doing, the pioneer work that you're doing.
Well, thanks, Roy. I appreciate that. And I'm guessing when we turn this off, we'll probably have more of those conversations.
Yes.
But all of you listening, thank you for tuning in. And leave some comments, leave some things below, subscribe. You can find us on every avenue of podcast that's out there, Anchor, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, the whole nine. And you can go to trevordevage.com. We've got them published there. And there's blog posts that come every single Wednesday. And we've got a YouTube channel and a wide variety of other ways you can keep up. I'd ask you, man, if you don't have a church home, go to ourchristchurch.com. You can click on a live link. You just heard Roy talk about it. We've got an online campus, goes live every Sunday at 8:50 and 10:20, and it's a live campus. We engage with you, we do life with you, we get you online to take you offline. That is our entire goal, so that you will engage with the church. We'll talk about that some other day here on the podcast, but I hope you guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.